bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting.
Hello out there. Thank you, Sam. That was well timed.
I felt it coming. I was waiting for it. I thought, yeah!
Oh, well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Gamer Show on the British Tech Network. I am here with Sam. And Chiz. And on the news. So, the first news article, we're not going to do any banter this week. Actually, you know what?
Let's not do banter.
I actually forgot to check iTunes. It's going to be really disappointing now if there's absolutely no reviews.
Oh, we're living life on the
edge here. I know of one, but I believe it was left on the site.
That's true. We have a comment on our site, which I am just going to bring up like in this slick, really well-prepared way that we normally work things on the Gamer Show.
And here's your holding music.
Isn't that a Mario tune? I don't know. But it's engraved in your head.
Well, I think it's engraved in everyone's head.
It was from the... Oh, they're all gone.
Yeah, I couldn't work out how to bring the comments up, to be honest.
Well, they were there. Oh, that's weird. Anyway, there was a comment from Bede, who was complaining about the fact that we omitted talking about pictures last week, or last show. And then he listed a whole bunch of podcasts that their core function was to talk about pictures. And that was it. But thanks, Bede, for that.
Yeah.
We like comments. Comments on the site are also good. So feel free to head on over to the British Tech Network, click on Gamer, and then you can comment on posts and stuff.
Except we don't seem to be able to read them, so maybe don't bother.
I know, we did. Yeah, it was there. I don't know why it's not there anymore.
Usually, go and click on the comment on this post.
Well, normally, because like you see when we've got, not that we've had a comment on many posts, but way back at the very beginning, somebody commented on a post, and it shows the amount of comments there.
Wasn't that just your app that was whoring you out, though?
It was, but somebody did comment on some of those. And we have no iTunes reviews.
Oh, wow.
That was a completely pointless exercise there.
So. Someone do an iTunes thing.
The Foreign Clicks is still the last one, so thank you, Foreign Clicks. Anyway, on to the news. So, Atari filed for bankruptcy this week, or did they? There was a question, gentlemen.
What?
Yeah, exactly.
What do you mean, or did they?
Well, they didn't. I thought they did. I saw a news article, and I can't remember what website it was on, saying that Atari had filed for bankruptcy, and everybody's like, oh my god, the starting of all the video games, because they made Pong, and oh my god, Steve Jobs and stuff. And Steve Jobs used to work at Atari. Briefly.
Right.
Life is enriched by that knowledge now.
Crack on about the story. I'm enthralled.
Well, apparently... Atari are not filing for bankruptcy. Apparently all it is they're separating Atari Inc., which is the American one, which is basically the one that made Pong, from the French parent Atari SA. Does anybody know what SA stands for? Being really important journalists, we should know that or should have researched
it. South Australia or Africa, mostly.
Yeah, but it's based in France.
Yeah, I don't really care.
Mm. Anyway, so they are basically separating off from them because the Frenchies are dragging them down, frankly.
Being French.
So that's it, basically. So Atari's continuing. They're not filing for bankruptcy. That's it.
I can tell this is going to be a good show already. It's thrilling to be here.
So are they just going to split into two parts? Or is one going to have to rename itself? Or?
Well, originally, I looked at this bit of the article and then I didn't bother putting it in. But the Atari SA used to be called something else SA, and I forget what it's called. Starts with an I.
Whoa. Just going back a second. Mm-hmm. So you originally posted this article.
No, Chiz did.
Chiz did.
And then
you looked it up.
No, it was me.
No, it was you. So you posted this article and then did research into it and found that it wasn't true, but you left it up. Didn't bother linking it to any other information that you'd found and didn't even bother changing the show notes that say Atari bankruptcy.
Because everybody was using like SEO link bait saying that Atari was bankrupt, but they weren't. It was just that, well, they kind of were, but just the Atari. Anyway.
I think we found our calling. We should all become tabloid journalists because clearly we put the same amount of effort in.
I was just curious, what's the last Atari game that you played?
Pong. No, there was a tank one.
Atari Tank Commander. Oh, no, that was Gary Tank Commander, wasn't it?
No, I suspect Atari Tank Commander maybe happened first.
No, I don't.
I was going to say came out first, but who knows with Gary.
Yeah, well, the last one I played was Roller Coaster Tycoon. That was the last one I can remember.
I forgot all of those were Atari, actually. I take that all back then.
I had an Atari ST back in the day.
Railway Tycoon. I loved Railway Tycoon.
That was good, actually. Mm-hmm.
Alone in the Dark, that was an Atari one. That was part of my bargain basement thing, was it not?
Was that Atari?
I think so. I'm trying to see it on the...
Oh, well. It should be there somewhere. Yeah. Unless Rodrigo got that one. Can't remember. Anyway,
is
moving
that your
on.
Mexican cleaner that sometimes steals stuff.
No, that's our fad.
I know. I remember. I just thought that was a good enough.
He keeps changing his Twitter name, so I'm not actually sure what his real name is. Right. Anyway,
is this the schizophrenic one, though?
No.
All right.
That's another one.
Okay.
We don't talk about him. Or him.
Or her. Sorry, Steve, Barbara, Philip.
THQ has been stripped of its assets and sold to individual companies. Basically, what this article is THQ was going to be bought outright by an investment company, but a judge said that that wasn't okay because of a variety of reasons. And they were split off and sold. And it just, the article totally reminds me of like a big pit with a bunch of hungry dogs and somebody just threw a body in.
Yeah.
And look, THQ with like THQ like written across its chest.
Yeah.
Because
I didn't exactly imagine, but I had hungry zombies just ripping something from limb to limb.
Well, kind of, but it sounds to me very much like it was done mafia style and they cut off fingers and threw the individual fingers in.
Sega has bought Relic. This is all the different IP that was bought across, was sold across. Koch Media agreed to purchase Volition and Metro. I've never heard of either of those. Volition?
Volition. I can't remember. I totally forgot what games they made now.
Crytek agreed to purchase Homefront, which could be interesting.
Well, it's a Crytek. One of their developers is actually making the new Homefront game anyway, but they didn't actually own the publishing rights or the actual title, but now they do own it. So,
Take-Two has got Evolve Turtles Rock New Games Project. So there you go. And Ubisoft agreed to purchase Montreal and South Park.
The Montreal one's quite funny because the guy, the lead director in the original Assassin's Creed game, left. It was Ubisoft. Because he didn't agree with what was going on there, and he kind of left in sort of bad terms. Went to that Montreal company at THQ, hired some of Ubisoft's staff. Ubisoft then took THQ to court over it, and now he's found himself back and under Ubisoft management.
Don't for that long.
7:55. Chiz said a word.
I said shit.
Times two. That's all kind of the crappy news out of the way. So we'll move on to Sony. Sony has been fined $250,000 over a preventable PlayStation Network attack. You remember this happened in April 2011, around the time that Portal 2 came out.
That's what I was going to say, you remember it well.
I remember that very, very well. I've probably told this story on the show before, haven't I? I'll tell it very quickly again. I was wanting to buy Portal 2, wanted to buy it from the Mac, because it was coming out of the Mac. Chiz told me, if you buy the PlayStation version, you get the Mac version for free. So I bought the PlayStation version, but then couldn't activate the Mac version because of the PlayStation Network was down for a freaking month.
Yeah.
So I was stuck playing it on the PlayStation.
And it was basically at the Friday before the weekend your game arrived.
Yeah. So that was a little bit annoying. So 77 million accounts were affected by this. I can't help but feel 250,000 is like the CEO of PSN or the PlayStation has got that like in his back pocket for buying lunch.
How many accounts were affected?
Yeah, 77 million.
Yeah, 77 million.
Sony are still appealing. Are going to appeal against?
Yeah, they're going to appeal against it to say. I think that's more of a saving face because 250,000 is nothing. That's like a middle management salary. You know, that's nothing. It almost seems like it was. They kind of felt like they had to do something, but really they didn't really want to do big things. You know what I mean? It's almost like the court kind of felt, well, we have to do something here, but really, Anyway, I thought that was worth mentioning.
Do you think...
Sam's doing math.
Yeah, that is 0.00324675 pence per account. Pretty good deal, I think.
So, do you think the, well, kind of something, the fine doesn't sound like it's high enough, but do you agree that they should have been fined about it, or did you get a preventable hack?
Everybody gets hacked.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody gets hacked to a level. I mean, even if all you're doing is port sniffing.
77 million accounts.
Where boom. Accessed. Yeah, yeah. I know.
And you're talking about should they have been fined? Yeah, maybe, maybe not. I don't know. Certainly someone should be punished for it. Mm. Possibly not Sony, but...
There was some sort of investigation when they found there was some serious flaws in their security. But then again, that could be said about a lot of companies, but they're not being actually attacked by the amount of the sort of hackers that attacked Sony.
The question on that one, though, should be, did they know about flaws beforehand, and did they just not bother doing anything about it? But the other question I would like to raise is, of people who have Cheers, for instance, who have a Sony account, do you think your account is worth 0.0032564 pence?
Well, thankfully, I've never bought anything over the PlayStation Network, so it doesn't actually have my bank details.
Yeah, I think that was the thing. It's there was very. I remember seeing an article ages ago, and I can't remember any of the details, but there was a very. Like in comparison to the Xbox Network, there was a very small percentage of them actually had credit cards attached.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so Sony's going to appeal it.
I changed my password anyway, and then
So did I. When I eventually got in. So Sony have said certainly in a statement to CVG that they strongly disagree with this decision and they will be trying to overturn it.
Actually, going back to the intellectual property, because THQ have the Dawn of War one, don't they?
Relic. Sega have bought Relic.
Funnily enough, Sega... It's Sega that do Total War, isn't it? Creative Studios and...
It's Creative Assembly. Creative Assembly. Are the developers, but Sega are the publishers, or I don't know if they own maybe the name or something anyway.
Interestingly
enough, every week I am blown away at your knowledge of random facts that there's no way you could have researched before the show. Every week. Anyway, move on.
Just be impressed that I'm contributing something to do with the news. That's what you should be impressed by.
Anyway, your point.
They've also recently bought over because the Dawn of War series is Games Workshop intellectual property for Warhammer 40,000. They've also just bought up the intellectual property for the Warhammer Fantasy stuff, and that's going into the Total War lot. So I'd be quite interested to see what they're going to do with it.
Yeah. All right, so they're going to take Warhammer stuff into the Total War engine.
That would be quite cool, fantasy Total War setting done by the guys
who did done by the Total War Creative Assembly.
Yeah. That'd be pretty awesome if they do it.
But, well, it kind of makes sense. I mean,
you might as well have everything.
Indeed.
There we go.
So, continuing on Sony, which was my segue there, but we're not really continuing on Sony because we disappeared off into Dawn of War.
It's kind of Sony because they're the ones that buy it.
I like how you bring attention to your flaws.
There's rumours that Sony are to abandon the DualShock design for the PS4, which is basically the controller that has been on the PlayStation since PlayStation 1, I believe, whereby you have two analog sticks for. One for either thumb.
It first came out without analog sticks, but then they added it in. Mm. But,
it's always struck me as like two little barrels stuck together with a central bar. It's not the greatest of designs.
Actually, that's a good point. That was one of the questions I had lined up here. What controller do you prefer? What's controller style? Of all controllers in all of video games history, what's the best one?
The controller I've played, I most like it fits my hands better, and the sticks and the triggers has probably been the Xbox 360 one.
I would agree.
Although the D-pad is a massive pile of crap.
Yeah. It is, but the position of it is good. If they actually get the technology better, it would work better.
Basically, if they had the PlayStation D-pad in the same place where the Xbox is, but took the D-pad and put the Xbox in, it'd be the perfect controller for me.
I really like it. I
don't mind the DualShock, but I find the analog sticks are too flimsy. They're just kind of like, with the Xbox, there's a resistance to it, which is good. It's easier to aim with the PS3. They're too much like, I'm going to flop this way. I'm not a fan of it. And the triggers on the R2 and L2 on the DualShock are not great. And it's really easy for your fingers to slip.
They're a bit teeny tiny,
slip off
they?
Them. They're shaped wrong. And rather than trying to scoop your finger in, they go the opposite way, so your finger slips off them.
Yeah.
Which is just like, whose bright idea was that? But I mind when before the PS3 was going to be released, they had this sort of banana sort of shaped one controller. Yeah, like, right. There was like they had a design of a controller. Say banana shape. I don't know. Like it was like a quarter moon sort of shape. If you know what I mean. And
kind of like that big dildo that you have hanging on your wall.
Yeah. It's exactly like that.
And then on.
And it reminds me, he's washed.
Do you think we need to bleep that?
Washed? I just thought you normally just polished it.
Oh, come on.
But like I mind seeing that controller, and I thought, oh, right. And I was actually looking forward to a new controller. And then all the fanboys went mental, saying, no, we want the DualShock. We don't want that. And they dropped it and went and reverted back. It's just like, because of these rabid fanboys, we never got a evolution in controller for the PlayStation.
But do you think it is an evolution? Because there's a lot of these things that come in, and they are just like gimmicks. I mean, like, CVG reported in this article that there's suggestions that the pad will include biometric sensors on the grips and an LCD touchscreen. And do you not think that's just gimmicky stuff trying to do
It depends. If it still fits your hand like a good controller, you can still do the normal things, but it has extra stuff to it, then I don't see what the problem is. But I think you have to try new stuff. You can't just keep doing the same
thing. I get that, but I don't know if they need to kind of scrap it.
You say that, but the little console-y type thing that we were talking about in the last show in the news, that was it not Gabe Newell going on about biometrics and stuff?
Yeah.
No one said that was gimmicky at the time. Is it just because it's Sony that's doing it?
Yeah, maybe. No, I don't think so. I'm kind of torn on this. I don't know.
Well, the thing is, these are just rumours until we actually see it, which the rumours are. It sounds like Sony and Microsoft are fighting to get their details out first, and by the sounds of it, they're going to both have their own little private things in March to show before E3 show off the new consoles. So
on
that's
that,
a rumor,
which
anyway.
We appreciate a ticket for.
Yeah.
On that, CVG, or rather CVG, on behalf of Kotaku,
Kotaku or something,
Kotaku, have reported some specs for the PS4, codenamed Orbis, and also for the Xbox, codenamed Durango. I really want Durango to be the actual name of that console. What an awesome name for a console that is.
The rumour is going to be it's just going to be called Xbox.
Oh, yeah. Like they're going to go like Apple.
I saw that.
It's going to be a brand, and then everything else around is going to be X something or X that or Xbox this, and right, I think that's the idea.
I wonder when they've got that idea. It's funny.
Yeah.
I was kind of disappointed with the specs, I have to say. So apparently these specs came from... they were shared by a chap named Super DAE, capital D, capital E. Apparently, that's the same chap or chap S who tried to sell the next gen dev kits on eBay last year. But anyway, he or she has shared the Orbis documentation, which is 90 plus PDFs. But it basically boils down to the following system specs for the PS4: 8 GB of system memory, 2.2 GB of video memory, 4x dual core AMD 64 quote bulldozer. CPU, AMD R10XX GPU, 4 USB ports, 2 Ethernet ports. I don't know what that's about.
I did query that as well, but these specs are taken from a developer kit rather than that.
That makes sense. A Blu-ray drive, 160 GB hard drive, and HDMI optical 2.0, 5.1, and 7.1 channel audio output. When you compare that to the Xbox, I couldn't find anything about the video memory, but the system memory is the same, 8 GB. I don't know anything about it. I'm not much into technical hardware, but I don't know if the Bulldozer has 8 cores or not. But certainly the Xbox is going to have 8 cores. 8 CPU cores running at 1.6 GHz. The GPU is a custom D3D 11.1 class 800 MHz graphics processor. A gigabit Ethernet port, 50 gigabyte 6-speed Blu-ray disc drive, which I'm really happy about. Finally, the Xbox has decided the Blu-ray is the way to go.
As long as it reads faster than the PS3.
Yeah. I couldn't find anything about the hard drive or the audio output, but presumably it's similar audio output.
How much RAM has it got dedicated to graphics?
I couldn't see anything about that. It only said the Xbox was 8 gigabyte of system memory, the same as the PS4, but Digital Foundry reported 4 gigabytes on a previous article last week, so yeah. It's between four and eight.
If you compare it to PC specs, it'd be based on it's basically a medium range PC.
Yeah,
but if it's optimized, which is basically what the Xbox 360 and PS3 were. If they're actually optimized, they'll still be brilliant. They'll still be 8 to 10 times better graphics than what we've got from the Xbox and PS3
Fine.
Right now.
Yeah. But if these are supposed to last for the next, what, 8 to 10 years, the same as the previous ones would, 8 gigabytes of RAM is actually kind of mediocre now. Where's it going to be in 10 years' time?
I think 8 gig of RAM, you could always do more RAM, but I think, to be honest, I think 8 gig for gaming.
Now, that's fine. 5 years' time?
You can get by on 4 gig of RAM for most PC games now, but I'd say if it's optimised, then it's because on PC there's that many different reporting. They're always, no one's getting the most out of PCs right now because they're developing games for the PS3 and the Xbox, which is holding the PC back.
Right.
So now they'll update the new Xbox and the PS4. The PC graphics will take a jump up as well. Mm-hmm. But yeah, but once it's optimised to what those specs are, then yeah, we'll see. To make it affordable, they could like chuck in like state of the art what we've got right now, but not come to the cost of like a high powered PC.
Yeah, I suppose. No, suppose they have this.
No,
in the kind of the
no one's going to pay
sub £500,
£600 for a console. They'll have to price it no more than £350.
Right. Okay.
And you're developing for a fixed unit. It doesn't. So they're always going to be out of date. They're obsolete. As soon as you get them, almost.
Yeah, and Sony have learned their lessons, right? They're going for parts off the shelf because it's cheaper and it'll be easier for developers to get the most out of because they're used to it, rather than designing their own thing, which might be all well and great, but a pain in the arse for developers for the first few years, which they learned on the PS2 and the PS3.
Well, it's first few years, it's still affecting them now. Skyrim DLC's not working. Skyrim itself
apparently it's on its way down.
Really shaky still.
Now that there's not many games that are multi-plat work better on the PC compared to the Xbox.
I saw the Dragon Rider DLC was coming out. What's it called?
Dragonborn.
Coming out on the 3rd of Feb for PC, which I'm quite looking forward to as well.
Cool. So we'll keep an eye on that. It's all just rumours at the moment. I'm trying to decide because we've only really got time for one more article. I am going to go with Nintendo Broadcast Future Features and Titles for the Wii U. So, Iwata, or however you pronounce his last name, from Nintendo, did a press conference and talked about a whole bunch of stuff that's happening on the Wii U, such as the Wii U Virtual Console, which is going to be releasing NES, SNES, and ultimately Game Boy Advance games, which will be at varying prices. They're also going to do, because it's the 30-year anniversary of the NES, they're going to be quite cheap. I think they're going to be 50% off or something like that for NES and SNES titles. This apparently doesn't happen to the Wii U until the spring update. So that'll be interesting. As long as I can get Super Mario Bros. 3 or Super Mario World, I will be happy. Anything to comment on that?
No.
Okay.
I was just kind of wanting a bit more about Zelda, but they're saying Zelda is in the making, but whether...
Well, they announced new games. So they announced Bayonetta 2, which the video really told you very little about the actual game. It was just the designers kind of...
Has anyone ever played the first one?
Yeah. It's a higher rated hack and slash game, but it never really pulled me in. But I'm not overly a massive hack and slash game, although for my game I've been playing this week is a hack and slash game and I've quite enjoyed it, which I'll talk about later, and made by the same developers as well.
The only two kind of Zelda I really wish I'd played a bit more of. I've never really ever played it. I've always quite fancied it, and never really played any of the Final Fantasies.
No, neither have I.
I played through one about halfway through the game. It was weird.
It's mentalness in it.
I've always quite just... There's been something sitting in the back of my head going, ooh, you should try that. Go on. Have a bit of that.
Yeah, I've totally gone off Final Fantasy because I feel like the past few of them have not been that great at all. But Final Fantasy VII always hold a special place in my heart.
Really?
Yeah.
Wonderful 101, which looked a little bit kind of cheesy superhero type thing that could, if they do it well with the gamepad, actually be quite good for the family thing in the same way that Nintendo Land does. Because it kind of looked like it could be a kind of a Pikmin type thing from Nintendo Land, whereby you're kind of controlling this massive horde of superheroes who are just randomly attacking things. But again, it was a 1 minute 30 a 1:30 video, which didn't really tell you very much. Yoshi Yarn, which there was no video, just screenshots of.
It's Kirby Yarn. It was a game like that. And just basically now they've just taken the same idea and done it with Yoshi.
With a different character.
Yeah.
It looked kind of cutesy poo. It looked, kind of Little Big Planet type style, type fabric and stuff. So it's the same as
that. One thing, when I saw the screenshot, it did like, that's like Little Big Planet, but Nintendo-ized.
Yeah.
That's another thing that I really want to play, which I still haven't.
Little Big Planet.
It's cool. Mm.
It's a good game.
It's got Stephen Fry in it.
Although I've had a bash about trying to create my own levels, but it's one of the things we need to sit down and learn what everything does, and then I'm going to make my own Batmobile out of the parts. It never worked. It just collapsed.
I remember we sat and did that.
It kept collapsing on itself. And it never worked. And it's just like,
I suck. And finally, the HD Zelda Wind Walker. So it's not actually a Zelda Wii U game. They're just kind of bringing the GameCube Zelda and kind of polishing it for the Wii U, which makes me think that all they're doing is people are up in arms because Zelda wasn't a release title, and they're just kind of polishing an old version to keep everybody happy until they finish the new one. That's my thought.
Shiny. Off you go.
As long as it's like a massively reduced price, and as you know,
I don't think it will be. It'll be the same. Anyway, so that's news. A couple of other articles that we were going to mention, I'm just going to say, was first of all, Left 4 Dead do workshop is live, so you can make your own levels and weapons. What?
You said Left 4 Dead, I think.
Left 4 Dead. That's a totally different game. Left 4 Dead cool. to Workshop, which is basically where you can create your own games and weapons and scenarios. PC only. Seem to have forgotten that they made it for the Xbox too, but hey-ho.
Just because it's Steam.
How are you going to do it on the...
As Chiz just said, there was the whole Workshop thing for both... Well, there's Portal Workshop and there was... actually, there was Portal for the... Anyway,
there's a level creator for Portal as
well. And Little Big Planet was for the PlayStation 2.
I would presume that it'd be a lot easier with a mouse.
Oh, I would imagine so. But nevertheless, they completely ignored that market. Cool. And Computer Games Keeping Me Mentally Active was an article on the BBC website. I encourage you all to go and have a look at it because it's quite nice. Video games are getting a bit positive
press. Just like to put theory forward, I think that article is a fallacy. And I would like to put all three of us forward as proof. But that is absolute balls.
So, onto the preview section. We are running currently about 10 minutes behind our schedule. We're going to push on here.
We'll just cut the sound bits, it's fine.
Yeah.
I can't even remember what I put up at this bit.
You have put up Nuclear Union? What have you got here, Sam?
It's a link.
That was something that I thought looked quite interesting.
Nuclear Union from...
It sounds like it's a Russian game, which always fascinates me after Stalker. Your people have been in, after the Cuban Missile Crisis, in a nuclear bunker in Russia for 50 years. And
what's that game type, is it?
And everything's messed up. By the looks of it, I think it's kind of FPS. I think.
Standardized shooter or a bit more to it?
I just like the idea of it. And, Stalker was really cool when that was new.
That's one game I grew up with, but you and Bede always raved about
it. And the other one that I put up was the Xbox XCOM game, which I mentioned before.
Is there another XCOM game?
It's the...
Expansion pack.
It's an FPS. It's the one that's based in like the 1950s.
Oh, yeah.
I'm really looking forward to that one, actually. I think it's going to be really cool. And apparently they've done some really interesting things with the aliens. So the aliens that are coming at you, that they're not kind of little green men or whatever. There's some like really odd cuboid things that just float around being mysterious. And the weapons do really odd.
Just float around being mysterious.
Yeah.
I don't trust
what
that
I would
cube.
Do.
He's floating around to being mysterious.
I get to love how every third show, Sam, you rock up with like two or three really good previews, and then the other two shows you say, "Oh, I didn't see anything."
It's not though.
Just spread about.
It's not though, because this one, this XCOM one, I've mentioned about three times now. It's just you forget.
Maybe.
And the other one I wasn't sure about, so I thought I'd put a decent one in.
Chiz, what are you looking forward to?
I've mentioned most games I look forward to, but one that's on my radar, Sniper 2 Ghost Warrior, just because I really hope it's actually a properly decent, good, stealthy sniper game, which has never really been.
Yeah, I was hoping for that with
the original Sniper
2.
Sniper was garbage. Mm. And then there was the World War II sniper game that came in not too long ago, which it was called... played a demo of that, and that was rubbish as well. So
well, I have to say the demo was all right, and then you realised it just was a bit samey.
Yeah,
I quite. Have you finished the Jaffa Cakes?
I've had like three.
Are we done? Is the Jaffa Cakes finished?
You watched him pull the last one out. I could see the hate in your eyes.
You can continue watching me eat it if you want. Imagine it going into you.
Seriously, that's why I had half a biscuit in my hand. I thought, should I offer it to Paul?
Orangey
goodness.
No,
I'm going to eat it.
This is like part of my one a day.
Apart from Jaffa Cakes, Paul, what are you looking forward to in the future?
Gears of War Judgment.
Really?
Yep.
Tell me more about that.
I love the Gears of War franchise generally. This one's a prequel. It follows Baird, which is the blonde-haired engineer type chap.
Does he abandon his long-lost love or shoot her?
We're not covering that again because I had to bleep sections of that conversation the last time.
It's stuck in my head.
His wife's going to turn up mongolized again. He's like, oh my God, another mongol.
Just shoot her.
Mongol's fine.
We're not sure if it is.
We're not sure if it is, so we're bleeping all of them. There's a few little elements of it, but it's basically Gears of War. It looks like Gears of War. It's got the same mechanic as Gears of War. The only difference is you've got a character now you could play as a girl who has a brown ponytail. But a couple of things I'm really, really looking forward to is the first thing is it actually is bringing Horde to actual gameplay. So you know that kind of multiplayer game Horde where you basically just kind of stood your line for and just shot against like 50 waves. Well, that actually has come into the gameplay now. So the sections of the game where you have to actually kind of hold
section. Bunker down and make fortifications.
Fortifications and things like that. So that looks really, really interesting. And the second thing was, and I've totally forgotten about it now. There was kind of two. So there was kind of cool little finishing move type things. So you know how you could kind of like, you could curb stomp them.
Yeah.
Well, there's lots of other ones. So it's like kind of almost like baseball bat. Like you swing your gun and take their head off like baseball bat style.
You could do, well, they did that in the past two gears as well, where basically you'd whoop the pedal.
I've never been able to do that. How do you do that?
In the pool. Well,
how did you do that with your voice? Just
do you mean finishing someone off even if they're not down? Do you mean?
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Well, it looks like that. Anyway.
All right. Because the curb stomp stuff in the past two gears, depending what weapon you had, you'd pull off a different maneuver and whatnot.
I thought that was new for this one. No. Apologies. And the other thing was, I know you've always been able to kind of like just attach a grenade onto like somebody, an enemy, but this one actually showed you throwing it and then attaching to them, which was quite cool.
Okay. it's not made by Epic, this one.
Is it not?
It's made by
me.
Yeah.
It's made by me. Anyway, it's going to be really good.
The guys that made Bulletstorm, but I can't remember what they're called, who are kind of owned by Epic, but they're a separate developer.
Anyway, that looks really cool. Comes at the beginning of March. So, looking forward to that. I think it's like 10th of March or something like that. Maybe earlier. Maybe later. Beginning of March. Look at us, knowing what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Next couple of months, I'm sure.
Sorry?
It's the next couple of months, I'm sure.
Yeah, you know, it's definitely March sometime. I mean, it's the first half of March. But the exact day, I do not know.
We're accurate enough.
Sam, what have you been playing this week, sir?
I've been playing Borderlands 2, which Cheers talked about last week.
Okay.
It's pretty good.
With the full intention of actually doing a bit of co-op with it with Bede as well.
We're going to have a go tonight, I think, hopefully.
All right,
if we get back relatively early.
Yeah, right.
It's really good. It's really quite funny.
You really love the music at the start.
I loved the music at the start.
I loved that video. Pasted it on Facebook.
I did. I went out and bought their album.
Did you?
Yeah.
Really?
It's awesome.
What the band called?
The Heavy. And the song is Short Change Hero, and I loved it. And also, done a little bit of online play on Halo, and turns out that I'm incredibly bad. I'm really shoddy at Halo, apart from Capture the Flag, which I'm awesome at.
You're offensiveness. I think everyone just assumes because they played games before.
I am quite offensive.
Ignore... You can't do any damage. Shoot everyone else, and then you just kind of
you just
pick up the flag and wander back with
it. Hey! Sam's gamer tag on the show.
Oh yeah,
doesn't matter. I'm incredibly bad at it. If you shoot me, it's bad sportsmanship. It is bad sportsmanship to go after me because I'm geek.
Right, okay.
What's yours again? I'm not going to give Chases out because he does far more online gaming than I do. It'd just be rude. Oh, no, maybe he should.
Sebastian McChuff.
Yeah. Is that not your American one?
It's my American one, but I never use it.
Chase, what have you been playing?
I have been playing the Metal Gear Rising demo and the Dead Space 2 demo.
Dead Space 3.
Dead Space 3, sorry. Metal Gear Rising, yeah, it's not too bad. Quite enjoy it. Took a wee bit of getting used to because like it popped when you first start the game, you get attacked and it's as you're playing it, you're getting a tutorial on the controls, but it's kind of like hard to look read what the controls are because it's like a paragraph of text while you're getting your head kicked around the around the level. Come on,
I hate that.
And then when you press pause, it all vanishes. So,
funnily enough, my game that I got last week was Hellgate London, which I'll talk briefly about, but that did exactly the same in the tutorial. And it was just live up on the screen. I'm like, at least pause it and make me read it.
Oh, I love how you imagine how your monitor's that big, you're literally looking up. But it took a while to actually, because to block or parry, usually it's just one button, but you have to press the attack button with forward to... Say, for example, X was attack, and you pushed your left analog towards Emmy and pushed X at the same time. What would you think that would do?
Attack in that direction.
No. That blocks if pushed at the same time.
Wow.
Yeah. But if you push them separately, they attack. That took a wee bit of getting used to. But
so you can't manoeuvre and attack really at the same time, otherwise you're blocking all over the place.
You think that, but once I got the gist of it, it seemed to work okay, weirdly.
Okay.
But at first, and getting the timing right of some enemies, especially the boss battle at the end of the demo, was a bit. I quite enjoyed it. I like how basically you can block and parry, you can jump around, do fancy moves, and then at any point during the fight, say if you're jumping over someone, you just pull the left trigger and you'll kind of pause time for a second and you'll line up where you want to slash your sword so you can jump over them, take his arm off, and then continue fighting again, or depend how far you've built up your meter of how long you can freeze time to do that, slash him into literally tiny little bits, and the same with random things in the environment like cars. I came across a car and went, "Oh, I'm going to see if I can slash this car," and basically turned into like a loaf.
Nice.
And quite, and the physics aren't exactly anything amazing, but. The idea,
because he can pause time and he can cut people into.
No, I mean, like when you slash things up, they're going to fall.
Sorry, I couldn't resist that one.
You.
I'm in a funny mood again. That's a word he's not allowed. You should know that, Dan.
Is it?
Yeah, you're not allowed that one.
No.
Okay.
Oh.
No, definitely not.
Could call you.
Just had an awkward pause there. Yeah.
Such sweet Jesus, he said that. That was Metal Gear Rising. Recommended if you like hack and slash games, I like the Metal Gear series. I recommend checking out Metal Gear Rising. And the Dead Space 3 demo, I tried out the co-op with Russell, and it's not too bad. More of the same with Dead Space 3, but now. Rather than me sitting in the dark, crapping myself in surround sound, Russell gets to hear me scream.
Nice.
It was like you walk along me and just go, ah, ah, ah. Go on, one behind you. Ah,
ah. Was that the one we were talking about a while back, where you can be attacked by stuff, but actually it's in your head and the other one has to differentiate?
Yeah, parts that weren't in the demo, in the co-op, I was saying before.
Oh, yeah, I remember
really
seeing that in the video.
About that. That
I think,
really awesome.
I'd say Dead Space, the first one, because I mean, it was you bought the first one, didn't you? And you played it on Lewis's PC, because yours didn't. Well, it did run it, but the graphics weren't great. You should play it now. You'd be able to run it better. But
no, I ended up.
It was a really fun game. At the same time, it was one of those games where I put in the game like, oh, no, I don't know if I want to play this. I don't like games that make me jump, and Dead Space is a game that makes you jump.
Yeah, it does.
And
I've not played any of the Dead Space.
I wouldn't say it's
really messes with you.
I wouldn't say it's overly. It's really atmospheric, but I wouldn't say it's overly scary. But it just makes you jump and crap yourself in every game. I suppose that's what fear is, I suppose. Mm. But And Dead Space 2 is more of the same, although a bit more epic, and there's a lot of big things happening. And if it's more of the same with Dead Space 3 and co-op, I'll be quite interested. I didn't buy the last two, I rented them. I'll probably do the same, but try and time it the same time as Russell or someone else to play it through. But
cool.
Not too bad.
I have, well, actually, to be completely honest, I have been playing, albeit briefly, Black Ops 2. But I don't feel I've played it enough to review it. But I have also been playing Wonderbook with Morgan, my daughter. She got that for her Christmas. And pleasantly surprised, I have to say.
After quite the good. Awful E3 demo they did of it.
Yeah, I know. I it's actually very, very good. I mean, I don't run out and buy it if you're a hardcore gamer without any kids.
Yeah.
But if you've got kids or you're mildly interested in Harry Potter, it's actually a really cool little game.
Oh, it's that thing.
Yeah.
Right. I played that.
Did you?
Here.
Oh, yeah.
I kind of watched and...
As Morgan was playing,
shouted the noises for it.
It's magic, Barnett!
Oh, we've
got on the moon, too!
Did I cut the mic off
there? You did cut the mics off there.
It's not my job.
Yeah.
No, it's good. You basically, you've got the wand, which is like the Wii Move, the PlayStation Move controller, and you've got the book in front of you, and you pull, like,
it's got the eye toy, spells. It sees everything.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. No, it's really cool, and it really, really responsive as well. We got iPad about 3 or 4 years ago, and it was basically using the same technology except for the PlayStation Move, and it was a bit rubbish. It took a little while for it to kind of get the hang of it and everything like that, but this worked straight off the bat. The book's really cool. When you move the book, the book is kind of blue with sort of large QR code, for a better way to describe it, on the front of it. And PlayStation Move camera obviously sees that and then superimposes a picture of like a kind of an old-timey looking spell book on the screen. And it's really responsive. When you move it about and you lift it up and stuff like that, it moves exactly the same speed. When you open up the pages and like turn the pages over, it gives this really nice animation. It's really, really impressive for like kids. I mean, my daughter's 9 and she loves it, so anything about that age or younger.
Is it quite expensive? Like, did you buy it?
I bought it. We didn't have the Move, so I bought it with the Move, and I think it was about £50 for the book, the game, and the Move.
iToy as well, or if you can get iToy?
I've got 2 iToys now, annoying.
I take it you can probably buy the game separately if you've already got a Move and iToy.
We didn't have the Move, so that's why I bought that pack.
How much was it altogether?
For the iToy, the one Move controller, the game, and the book, it was £50. I think £49 or something
like
that.
Not too bad, actually.
Yeah.
I was expecting more expensive.
And I'm assuming that they're going to bring out more of these books, albeit maybe not Harry Potter ones.
Just one Move, because it didn't exist.
No, there's just one Move.
There's 2 little controllers for it, isn't there? No, they're all the same. No.
It's
like an analog stick, like the nunchuck idea as well. I think there is.
I can't remember. I don't know. I've not played any of them.
Do they need more books? Could they not just do the same thing with the same book?
I suppose, actually. Yeah, they probably can. Just bring out different games for it. Yeah, you're right, actually.
Because each one can just be programmed to read the coding in a different manner and superimpose whatever.
When I first opened the book, I thought this is going to be such a short game because there's only like 4 pages in the book. And I thought it's going to be really disappointing because she's going to kind of flick through, because in the first kind of tutorial, you go through two pages, and I'm thinking, really, the game's going to be 2 pages? This is going to be so disappointing. But the way it just keeps on, like, starting at the beginning again, and it depends on what section you go into, and you can read, like, the book actually acts as, like, half a dozen, in fact, possibly even double that, a dozen different chapters of the book.
Yeah.
And it really, I was really pleasantly surprised with it. Very cool. And hopefully I'll have some more time. I've been really busy at work recently, so I'm going to try and play more Black Ops 2 to review that in a couple of weeks' time.
And your ass in Halo as well.
And Halo.
I was going to say before, Paul, describing what we do as reviewing is putting a little bit of the grandiose on.
Once again, we should be journalists for tabloid newspapers.
This podcast and all the others on the British Tech Network would not be possible without the wonderful services and the great people at UK2. Thank you very much, everybody at UK2. Really, really appreciate your sponsorship. If you want to use any of their services and just basically support them to help us out, if you head on over to britishtechnetwork.com, click on sponsors, click on the link there. You've also got all the voucher codes and everything like that there. And then buy stuff from UK2. They've got all sorts of awesome stuff, domains, VPS, VPN, all sorts of great things like that. We really, really appreciate what they do for us. We would really, really appreciate you to use them for any web-related services that you could possibly ever want. And also, once you're a customer there, if you could kind of use the click-through on our website to get into logging your account, that'd be really grateful. Because they can see how many people we send them. So that's UK2. They support British Tech, and we would love you to support them. Now, finally, the bargain basement. Now, before we continue here, I'm going to make this perfectly clear again. I cannot play Windows games. I genuinely tried Woodcutter Simulator on, like, I've got 3 or 4 Windows laptops, really old ones, like Windows 98, Windows XP lined about the place. I tried it on all of them, but bizarrely, Woodcutter Simulator needs a better graphics card than is in any of those laptops. I've been too busy at work recently, and I need my laptop for a bother boot camping it and then screwing my hard drive up.
I hear it's got highly detailed lumber. Lumber, yes.
Lumber.
Sorry, that's the woodcutter's very limber.
Paul, so you're more than welcome. I'll just put this out there. You are more than welcome to come over to my house for an hour or two. And play Woodcutter Simulator. I would enjoy the experience of watching it.
I will do.
It'll be like a new angle, the bargain basement, a shared experience.
That's lucky, because this week we've got you Woodcutter Simulator 2! No, we haven't.
How was Hellgate London, Sam?
It was pretty good. I really enjoyed it. So I went in, played it, went through a few levels, and... Yeah, it was good. Quite interesting, very weird weaponry they have in it. There was a gun that was shooting bullets, but it seemed to splash acid everywhere and very odd little things. I didn't really understand what the characters were. They all seemed to play in the same fashion. What did annoy me, though, was when I saved and came out of it and then went back into the game, it completely forgot that I'd done that, so I had to restart. So, because I played it, and I really enjoyed it, and I came back in the next night to play it, and it had done that to me. So I was like, right, screw you, never playing that again. Bye! So there we go. Hellgate London. It's good, but...
The save feature's a bit dodgy. Chiz, how was table tennis?
Okay, imagine, everyone knows what table tennis is. Mm-hmm. You've played table tennis before, vaguely, or attempted.
Well, we played that extreme version at Sam's.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've seen it done, but I'm guessing this will be less violent.
And now imagine maybe a less violent version of that in a computer game, and that's what you've got.
That basically
sums up.
It's just table tennis.
I went in, pit tournament, selected Swedish guy called Jesper, because he amused me, and... proceeded to get beaten by an American woman, and it's like I actually quite enjoyed Top Spin and Virtua Tennis in the past, because I quite tennis, but I play tennis myself, but the table tennis didn't really pull me in, and it's table tennis. You hit a ball back.
There's not really that much you can say about it.
And that is literally it. Yeah. Okay. The balls are small.
Table tennis.
If I hadn't already chosen the show title, that would be a good show title. Right, okay, so this week, Sam, I'm going to be good to you. I think you'll quite enjoy this one.
I quite enjoyed the last one, but it disappointed me.
Oh,
horribly.
Okay, I'll give you something else.
Oh, no, I want that one. I've been very good to you.
Okay. There's no reviews on this one, but I think you'll like it. It's a game called Rise of Nations.
Oh, funnily enough, I own this somewhere.
Yeah. I just say, I'm sure I've actually seen that.
It's quite good fun. It's kind of a steampunky strategy game.
Well, don't review it now. Leave it to next week.
I got bored of it quite quickly, so I'll give it another go. I think I've lost it, though. So
Chiz, yours has reviews. This game is ripe with more awesomeness than Gears of War and Rainbow Six Vegas put together by GamePro.com. Spin said, a fully playable kick-ass action movie. And IGN said, the name of the game, takes the slick style of Woo and turns the knob to 11.
Stranglehold.
Yes.
Do you know what, actually?
I've played that before as well, but...
This is a bit disappointing.
I rented it, but didn't actually get very far into it, so I can actually probably pick up my game save and continue on.
This isn't what I thought it was, so... This is a different game, so all I'm right, quite okay. happy about this.
So that's all right, because I was going to have to take them both off you, because I was being really generous this week.
If you scroll down a little bit, Paul... on the notes there, and
well, if you've got Lincoln for it,
follow this link.
Yeah.
I don't actually have. You're not a friend of mine on Steam for some reason.
I was certainly.
I couldn't find you.
I don't think you're friends with me on Steam. You miserable git.
So yeah, this is what we've got you, and I'll just send it over.
If Baghdad broadband's working yet?
What is this?
MukPixel.
McPixel.
Or McPixel, as it seems to describe
on,
itself.
Is there audio with this video?
I don't know. I haven't watched it.
Thanks.
I didn't put that much effort into it.
The audio should play through the show. Hang on. Come on. Hang on, we're going to try and play the audio just for the end of the show here. There's no more show, so if anybody's got bored, they can just quit.
To be honest, it was a really bad show. I wouldn't blame anyone.
Some days.
Oh, I can hear it.
Bum, 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 bum.
Ooh. A weird ginger guy.
Yeah, he scared me a bit.
You just can't. Another weird ginger guy, but he seems to be answering his phone. Is a bomber.
And he's sitting next to a big bomb with a fuse.
Get rid of a bomb.
Some days you can't get rid of a bomb.
This looks horrendous. SOS presents McPixel.
I think people should watch this.
Yeah, we'll put a link in the show notes for this. I really don't know what to expect yet.
But did that Eskimo flash him when he kicked it in the nuts?
I also seem to be a she as well.
It's David Attenborough accurate so far.
He just...
What? He brought a bone up a cow's bottom.
This has to be seen to be believed. He seems to be standing at a road now. He's crossing the road. Still holding the bomb.
We should match just going back
just
and forth in real time.
Himself.
He's now taking a whiz.
Real time and 8-bit graphics.
Oh dear.
What?
I'm not even going to describe what happened there. You'll have to watch the video. It's with a pirate.
Did he stroke the pirate's pregnant belly?
Not his belly.
So Sam's mic's in the way. Or maybe obviously I thought it was a mic.
He's now back to normal. He's running across a field holding the bomb.
This is... really
he now appears
show.
To be in the president's office.
Get it. Oh dear.
Oh dear.
Yep.
Yeah. He's now running through a field. He just kicked a dinosaur or Godzilla or something. Yeah. I have no... That has not helped me tell me what that game is.
So, I thought it'd be really good, Paul.
Okay.
It's out now.
It would appear so.
It's on Steam.
And how much did it cost you, Sam?
It's less than £3. To be honest, there's not much on Steam that is less than £3. So that took me a good long time. I got it less than that.
That's $4.
Oh, that's dollars. All right.
Okay. Thank you very much. If you want to get in touch with the network, please email britishtechnews@gmail.com. If you want to follow the network on Twitter, it's @BritishTech. If you want to follow me on Twitter, it's @PaulWheatley. If you want to follow Sam on Twitter...
it's Dr. Nasty Flaps, but I really wouldn't bother.
Chiz is allergic to all social media of any kind, shape or form. And we will see you in 2 weeks. Good night.
I don't know. He's still a member of Hooker's Connection. Dating site.
Isn't everyone?
Yeah.
A friend of John it.
I know.